right, good evening, everybody. All right, hello, good evening, everyone. Hey, thanks for coming out to Good Friday tonight. I want to start off by kind of giving you the goal for tonight and then a bit of instruction about how it's going to go tonight. The goal tonight for our get-together right now for this special worship service is to transfer all the glory that we possibly can from humankind, ourselves, the people we admire, to the one man whose admiration is worthy of it all, and that's Christ. Tonight, Jesus told us, if you lift the Son of Man up, there's a gravitational pull to people when we lift up the Son of Man, and that's what we're going to do tonight. Now, there's a couple ways that we're going to do this. We're going to recount the story of the cross. The audio of the story of the cross is going to come up, and that's going to give us the opportunity to hear this famous story again, to be listening for God to talk to us through His Word. So God's going to talk to us through the Bible as we read it, and then the team is going to lead us to talk back to God in prayerful singing, songs that express our thoughts and our emotions, the way it's right to respond to the events of the cross. And we'll go back and forth between that, a reading of scripture that you can sit down for and listen to. Rob and the musicians will kind of cue you when it's time to stand and when it's okay to sit. We don't want you standing for a whole hour tonight. And then I'm going to come with a devotional as we focus in on just how could so many people who knew the Bible look at Jesus up there being crucified and go, we haven't seen enough yet? How could that happen? I pray that, you know, tonight as we lift up the Son of Man, that He would draw us. For many of us who have been drawn to Him, to believe in God and believe in Him, believe in His promises, my hope and prayer is that tonight we would believe Him even more. So would you bow your head and let me say a prayer. Lord Jesus, You're the most important person here right now as we recount the evening of Your crucifixion, as we think about it, as we hear about it, as we respond to it. I pray that there's one person who would be blessed tonight in this meeting, and that is You. We are here to bless You. I pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.
Husband, come and hear my plea. I've seen this man You keep. He visits me between the walls of my dreams. He comes upon the widest righteous wings. I see the crowd turn and move as one. They're fools to follow themselves. They're fools in what they want. His blood's upon their voices.
As soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. And they bound Jesus and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered him, "You have said so." And the chief priests accused him of many things. And Pilate again asked him, "Have you no answer to make? See how many charges they bring against you." But Jesus made no further answer, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the feast, he used to release for them one prisoner, for whom they asked. And among the rebels in prison, who had committed murder in the insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. And the crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do as he usually did for them. And he answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priests had delivered him up. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release for them Barabbas instead. And Pilate again said to them, "Then what shall I do with the man you call the king of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." And Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas. And having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified.
You go before I know that you've even gone to win my war. Your love becomes my greatest defense. It leads me from the dry wilderness. You've even gone to win my war. Your love becomes my greatest defense. It leads me from the dry wilderness. And all I did was praise. All I did was worship. All I did was bow down. All I did was stay still. Hallelujah, you have saved me. So much better your way. My heart can seek to find your truth. Your mercy is the shade I'm living in. And you restore my faith and hope again. And all I did was praise. All I did was worship. All I did was bow down. Oh. introduce me to your love. You picked up all my pieces, put me back together. You are the defender of my heart. When I thought I lost me, you knew where to find me. You reintroduced me to your love. You picked up all my pieces, put me back together. You are the defender of my heart.
Rejoice, Lord, in the fact that you are our defender. I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul when he says in Romans that just at the right time, and only at the right time, Jesus died. Christ died for us. And I was just, the Lord reminded me today that there was no Roman soldier that had the ability to issue that final blow to our Lord and Savior. Jesus is sovereign, and he laid his life down when and only when he decided to. He has all authority in heaven and earth. Lord, we praise you today for the cross of Calvary. Thank you for rescuing us.
rescue, and I wanna be with.
And the soldiers led him away inside the palace, that is the governor's headquarters. And they called together the whole battalion. And they clothed him in a purple cloak, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on him. And they began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they were striking his head with the reed and spitting on him, and kneeling down in homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. And they led him out to crucify him. And they compelled the passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. And the inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by dared him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha, you who will destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also reviled him.
That has torn the veil. We crown you, we fall face down and we worship. We all cry out, "You are worthy, God. You are worthy, God." Please stand with us while we sing this next verse. To the one who gave his very life away, who took upon himself all our guilt and shame, hanging on a cross. For the world he loved with his precious blood, purchased men for God. We crown you, we fall face down and we worship. We all cry out, "You are worthy. And we worship, we all cry out, "You are worthy, God. You are worthy, God." Of your
face down and we worship. We all cry out, you are worthy, God. You are worthy, God.
But from the far side of the chasm, you had me in your sight. So you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. There at the cross, you paid the debt I owed. Broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. You have saved my life, brought me from the darkness into glorious light. You took my place, laid inside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, and then you walked right out again. And now death has no sting, and life has no end. For I have been transformed by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life, brought me from the darkness into glorious light. There is nothing stronger than the darkness. into glorious light.
And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders hearing it say, "Behold, he's calling Elijah." And someone ran and filled a sponge with a sour wine, put it on reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly this man was the Son of God." There were also women looking on from distance, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James the younger, and of Joseph, and Salome. When he was in Galilee, they followed him and ministered to him. And there were also many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem.
And when evening had come, since it was the day of preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God, took courage, went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was surprised to hear that he should have already died. And summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he was already dead. And when he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the corpse to Joseph. And Joseph bought a linen shroud, and taking him down, wrapped him in the linen shroud, and laid him in a tomb that had been cut out of the rock. And he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, grant us a fresh dose of the person of the Holy Spirit in our lives, so that, Lord, whether we're hearing this for the 30th, 40th, 50th, 100th time, or the first time tonight, grant us faith. Lord, grant someone in here tonight saving faith. For those that have it, grant us more faith so we move from faith to faith. And in place of our unbelief in the Lord Jesus Christ, gift us the gift of belief. And I pray this in his name. Amen. Amen. What if Jesus would have listened to them? What if when they said, "Come down here. Come down here, and if you do, we'll believe." Jesus, being up there a few hours, said, "Okay, I'm going to do that." And kind of like, anybody remember seeing that movie, The Incredible Hulk? And when he got really mad, his eyes would turn green, and, you know, inside something beyond biological would happen. What if Jesus did that? "Okay, I'm going to get down." And then he kind of closed his eyes. He opened up, his eyes turned red. And all of a sudden the centurion stepped back and he explodes off the cross, standing in front of the centurion, starts throwing people around. Would the Jews have believed? They said, if you come down here, we'll believe. I have a question for you. Did Jesus do enough to be believed? Did he do enough to be believed? Now, just a couple days before this, the event that really stirred up the whole city of Jerusalem to march in for Palm Sunday was a sign that Jesus gave. He raised the guy who had been dead for 4 days. His body was decomposing. The smell of it was known. And with only his voice, he said, Lazarus, come out. And he came out, and people saw that sign, believed. They went into the city of Jerusalem. Some of them who saw that went into the city of Jerusalem and told the chief priests and the scribes. And that conversation was not, oh, I don't know if I can believe that could happen. That conversation in the book of John, they said, if this keeps going, everybody will admire and go after him. Has Jesus done enough to be believed? Now, all through those readings today, you know, surrounding the cross, you have a very strange choir of people all saying the same kinds of things, but from very different angles. Jesus is brought in front of a Roman battalion, and that Roman battalion, who doesn't really know him, they really do mock him. They really do hurt him. That is what they do. And they really do pretend to be worshiping him. Oh, hail, King of the Jews. And in great sarcasm, they're attempting to make him feel ashamed. They want him to emotionally feel the cross before he starts to physically feel the cross. And that battalion is mocking him. Now, that battalion of the Romans hated the Jewish leaders, and the Jewish leaders hated the Romans, and yet in this one event, they're on the same page. Because then the scribes and the chief priests. He's up there dying, and they hate him so much that they're looking at him. And they say, you saved other people. Get yourself down. And if you do that, we'll believe. They join the Roman centurions in having the same emotions towards him, mocking him. Now, Jesus was crucified in a very public place. There's a main road that went right by where he was crucified so that people could walk by all afternoon long while he was dying. People would walk by. And the Bible tells us that they'd wag their heads and kind of snicker, talking to each other. Hey, remember he said he was going to tear the temple down. Look at him now. Alas, O temple terror downer. And you have a strange choir of people, the passersby, the scribes and the chief priests, the Roman centurions, all doing the same thing. Look at him up there. And he cries out, and after he cries out, some of the people by him, they want to give him some sour wine. And the reason why they do is because they want to see another sign. They think if he stays alive, I think he's summoned Elijah. And if he summoned Elijah, let's see if Elijah has come. All around the cross, he's totally surrounded with one thing, unbelief. Did he do enough to be believed? I want you to think about it. If he would have jumped down from the cross and given them another sign, do you think that they all of a sudden would have said, well, there it is. That was the one that we've been looking for, and they would believe? And the Bible says, no. Because the nature of their unbelief was not that they hadn't seen things. The nature of their unbelief was that if they came to believe in him, they would have to stop pursuing the thing that they loved and really admired and start pursuing him, and they were unwilling to do that. What did they admire the most? What did they want the most in life? What did their heart long for the most? The praise of man. And Mark tells us that one person from every section of the mockery choir, all the rest of them are looking at Jesus on the cross saying, he hasn't done enough. If he just did one more thing. Let me ask you a question. Do you know people like that? Jesus hasn't done enough. If he just did one more thing. And one person from every group, not one more sign is given except the silent sign of Jesus dying on the cross. And one person, one courageous person from every group of people breaks from the we live off the glory of man group and looks to Christ and becomes a person who now lives off of the glory of God. First person to do it is the Roman centurion, the man who's overseeing the crucifixion. He sees those events, and he doesn't just do what Pilate did. Pilate knew that he was an innocent man and that the religious leaders wanted him killed because of envy. Pilate knew that. The centurion doesn't look up there and say, look, he was an innocent man. He looks up and he says, I see. He's the Son of God. One man of the group of the chief priests and the scribes, Joseph of Arimathea, Mark tells us, he was a man of courage. He's the one who broke from his group, who lived off of the admiration of people. He broke from that group and bought a linen shroud and went to Pilate and said, in one of the most tender moments of the Bible, Jesus' limp, lifeless body was brought down from the cross by a shroud and one of the chief priests. And of all the people who were passing by, the observers, the people who had not been part of the chief priest group who condemned him and not part of the Roman centurions who were executing him, the people who were observing, some of them walked by wagging their heads. Oh, Jesus, you're so great. Two of the passerbys were actually passing by on his right lane and on his left lane to death. Two thieves. Now, Mark tells us that both of those thieves were reviling and mocking him when he was crucified. And yet we know that one of them became a Christian on the cross. Jesus said, today you're going to be with me in paradise. Now, you know that the Bible account doesn't tell us everything that happened that day. Jesus said a lot more words from the cross than what's recorded in the Bible. And for some reason, we don't have recorded that whatever discussion there was that took place between Jesus and the thief to bring him to faith. But you have probably hundreds of people who looked at Jesus on the cross and said, if he just did one more thing, then I'd believe. And Mark shows us three people: a thief, a centurion, and a chief priest who had had their eyes opened, who had been called. See, for everybody else, Jesus was something in the way. This is what Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, that the Jews demand a sign. What they want to see is, just show us one more thing. And what that means is, you have not done enough yet to persuade me. And once you do enough to persuade me, then it'll be fine. But until that point, I'm going to continue to go after and do the things that I love. I'm going to pursue the things that I find beautiful, the things that are ultimate to me. Those are the things that I'm going to go after while I wait for you to do one more thing to deserve my belief in you. Hundreds of people looked at him that way. Do you know anybody who looks at him that way? And then Mark records for three people from the cross, Jesus called them. And they answered. And a series of events all happened in their lives at some point. We're not told exactly how it all happened. Their eyes were open to see something that everybody else was looking at but couldn't see. And their hearts were changed so that something that they didn't see as ultimately beautiful and glorious before, all of a sudden they looked at Jesus and saw him of ultimate value and ultimate worth. And the Bible tells us that what that was is God lifted a veil on their eyes so that they could see. And God took out their heart of disbelief, their heart of stone, and gave them a heart of flesh. And therefore, they looked at the one sign that all of us must see. What's he doing up there? Now, for the religious leaders, when they looked at him and they thought of salvation, they said, you've saved other people. Did they know what they were talking about? Had he saved other people? He certainly had. What did they mean by that? He had brought people back from the dead. He had given people the ability to walk. He had fed people miraculously. He really had done a lot of things to help people. And for them, they looked at this as salvation. But the thing that they didn't see, and the things that the others did see, is that this salvation was not a salvation for this life and this body. The salvation was a salvation for eternal life. And while Jesus is up on the cross and they're saying, show us something else. What God is showing us on the cross, His perfect justice to punish the guilty, just not me and you. His perfect mercy and grace to do it perfectly. And what the three of those men did when they looked at Jesus, what they had been given the gift of, is the gift of faith. To say, he doesn't have to show me anything else, I believe. Believe what? What does a Christian come believe on Good Friday when you look at and think of the cross? What do we believe? And when we take communion, what are we, and you can take your communion out now, when we take communion, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? Now, there are some denominations of Christianity who think that what you're doing with communion is that something miraculous happens to the little juice in there, that it actually has a miraculous transfer so that it turns into the blood of Jesus. And the cracker miraculously transfers into the body of Jesus. We don't believe that. But there are other people who believe that this is just juice and it's just a cracker. We don't believe that either. What we believe is that everybody who has ever taken communion, I want you to think about this, for thousands of years on Good Friday, Christians have been taking communion. And what joins us all together when we take this communion is that for everybody who has come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ, what we're all doing is we're all taking it in faith. It is something spiritual to take this right now. And we know that because Paul tells us in the Bible, if you take this and you're not doing it in faith, and this spiritual thing that happens between Christians and Jesus Christ when we take communion, if you don't have that and you're taking communion, you're really disrespecting something that's holy, and you don't want to fool around with that. What are we doing when we take this in faith? When we take the cracker in faith, what we're saying and what we're acknowledging in faith and believing in faith is that what happened to Jesus' body on the cross is what should happen to our bodies. That in these bodies we've sinned and broken faith with God. We've loved other things more than Him. We've gone after other things. We've spent our time, our money, our energy pursuing other things more than we've pursued Him. And that's terribly wrong to do. We've sinned against Him, and because we've sinned against Him, we deserve a righteous punishment. And when a Christian takes the cracker or the bread, what we're saying in faith is we're saying, I do believe that that should happen to me. It would be right for God to do that to me. But He did it to Jesus instead of me, so that Jesus suffered in His body for me. Now tonight, if you're here at Good Friday, and that's what you believe, I want you to take out this cracker, and I want you to just hold it in your hand. And I want to give you about 60 seconds. And I want you to express your thanks to Jesus. And I want you to tell Him how thankful that you are that when God's righteous anger for your sin was coming at you, He stepped in between God's anger and your life so that He took the punishment that you could never have taken. want you to take 60 seconds and in your own words, it doesn't have to be churchy or pastory, just regular people, tell Jesus thank you. Take a minute. Jesus, Joseph took a linen shroud and he wrapped around and he held and lowered and carried your lifeless and innocent body. That body, in that body, you stood between our holy Creator God and sin, our sin, and you took the punishment for our sin. What should have come on us never will, because it came on you. We will never be condemned because you were condemned. And we believe that you did that for us by faith. Thank you for your body. All right, all of us, saving faith, take a knee. What does it mean when we take the cup? It's the blood applied. Jesus bled, holy, pure blood. That blood is his representative of his life for ours. His perfect life for our sinful lives. His blood covered over our sin so that we could have peace with God, Father, Son, and Spirit. Not by us doing it, not by what we could do or ever have done, but by what he has done for us. I want you to take just 60 seconds. And I want you to talk to him. I want you to thank him for his holiness, for his blood spilled for you. And if there's anything, any sin that you're carrying in with you here tonight, that you're holding, something that you haven't confessed, before you take the communion, just tell him you're sorry. All right, take 60 seconds and talk to Jesus. Jesus, I'm so thankful that you tell us if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from unrighteousness. Lord, this juice, we take it in faith that it symbolizes your blood over us, covering us and cleansing us, so that in spite of our record of sin, we can stand before you tonight, right now, and we do this in faith, we can stand before you pure, clean, not with our own holiness or righteousness, but in your righteousness given to us. And when we're right with God, that is life. Thank you for life. Everyone here with faith, take and drink. Okay, I'm going to ask that we stand to our feet. Friday night, and we're reliving, you know, we're reliving Jesus last week. And that means on Friday night, he was in the tomb. He told us that there was going to be one more sign. He said, I am going to give you a sign. It's the sign of Jonah. For 3 days and for 3 nights, I'm going to be buried. And because Jesus said it, that's true. He was. if we take that account seriously, that Jesus was in the tomb 3 days and three nights, it's not possible for him to have died on Friday night. Wasn't crucified on Friday. In the Gospels of Mark and Luke, it tells us that the women bought and prepared spices before the Sabbath and after the Sabbath. Now, the reason why is because on Holy Week, in the Jewish calendar, there's two Sabbaths. There's one Sabbath that was the Passover. All the high holy days were considered Sabbaths. And the Saturday is the Sabbath, which means that probably Jesus was crucified on Wednesday. So by the time Friday night came, he had been in the tomb for 2 days. So, you know, tonight is, now we're not going to do it, you know, no one's going to do a good Wednesday service. That'd be silly. But because Jesus said 3 days and three nights, and the scripture, it's important that we look in the scriptures for what happened. And so, you know, tonight with his body resting in the tomb, the penalty of sin having been paid for, it's a good thing that we together remind ourselves, man, everything that Jesus said he was going to do, he did. People listen to him preach all the time and we're like, I don't think he's not going to do that. Everything that he said, he did. His word is completely trustworthy. So, you know, tonight, what kind of last challenge? Hundreds of people stood on the cross and looked at him and didn't believe him. What about you? You know, tonight on Good Friday, have we ever seen anyone who kept his word the way that he did? The things that he said he was going to do, he did all the way to the bottom. Anyone here having a hard time trusting him tonight? Anyone having like, Lord God, just show me a sign. The cross is the ultimate sign that has ever been shown. What he said he was going to do, he did. Lay down his life for you and for me. So I'm just going to say a prayer. Just communicate our trust in. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, tonight after having thought about, read about the cross, having taken communion, just like you did with your disciples, and God, just before we kind of sing a song and head out of here, we just want to stop right in front of you and ask you, Lord, would you strengthen us and help us to believe in you and to trust you? That the things that you've said in your word are true and can be completely stood upon. Would you help us to do that? When we look at the cross, what we see is your ultimate commitment to do what you said you were going to do. You are totally trustworthy. And I pray that you'd give us supernatural strength for us to totally grab hold of and grasp everything that you said in your word so we can live our lives with such faithful confidence in you. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And on the cross, you demonstrated 100 million things at once. But one of those things is that you can be trusted. Would you help us with that? In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Sing this with me.
Perfect Son of God, in all his innocence, here walking in the dirt with you and me. He knows what living is, he's acquainted with our grief. A man of sorrow, son of suffering, blood and tears. How can it be that there's a God who weeps? There's a God who bleeds. Oh, praise the one who'd reach for me. Hallelujah to the Son of Suffering. Imagine you are distant and removed, but you chased us down in merciful pursuit. To the sinner you were grace, and the broken you embrace.
right.
And in the end, the proof is in your wounds. Blood and tears, how can it be? There's a God who weeps. There's a God who bleeds. Oh, praise the one who would reach for me. Hallelujah to the Son of Suffering.
To God in heaven, your blood still speaking, your love still reaching. All praise, King Jesus. Glory to God forever. Your cross, my freedom, your stripes, my healing. All praise, King Jesus. Glory to God in heaven, your blood still speaking, your love is still reaching. All praise, King Jesus. Glory to God forever.
to reveal the kingdom coming and to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation. You did not despise the cross, for even in your suffering you taught to the other side, knowing this was our salvation. Jesus, for our sake you died. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. Morning that you rose, all of heaven held its praise. For the Lamb had conquered death, and the dead rose from their tombs. And the Church of Christ was born. Church of Christ was born. Then the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old shall not kneel, shall not faint. By His blood and in His name and in His freedom I am free. For the blood of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected.
Did Jesus do enough to be believed? This is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians, the book we're working through on Sunday mornings. This is chapter 1, verse 22. For Jews demand signs. Didn't they demand a sign? And Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to the Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Did Jesus do enough to be believed? He certainly did. Amen. Happy Good Friday.